Metaphysical Soul Speak starts now. Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak with your host, Elena Fox Starks. Metaphysical Soul Speak is a spiritual show that explores the mysteries of the universe and reminds you of your divine connection. Well, welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak. I am here with a really exciting guest, Angel Rose and Ahonu. They are a wonderful couple who have been studying metaphysics, a combined experiences of over 50 years, and they read the Akashic Records. Recently, they appeared on the most famous talk show in the whole world, Coast to Coast AM. And I'm just so impressed with you guys. Welcome. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Well, thank you. We're happy to be here.
Great to be here. This is Ahonu.
Thank you so much. Now, you guys are twin flames, which in my own understanding of this, you are in your last life. You came here together for a purpose, which is super exciting. You are visionary artists, you are authors, speakers, you have your own radio show, and you're spiritual teachers. And please enlighten me if I have left anything out.
No, that's quite a bit. We do online group Akashic sessions. And, Ahonu does wonderful visionary art readings for people. And we've been doing this for a long, long, long time, although we haven't been together all that time. We've been together since 2006.
Oh, okay. So I want to ask you, how did you guys meet?
We met at a spiritual conference in the Canary Islands in Tenerife, back in 2006, and we had the afternoon off. We were out on a whale-watching boat, and we were both on that boat. And so I could feel some energy. He was staring at me from behind, and I could feel it. And we just talked a little bit that weekend, but then 2 months later, we saw each other at another conference in Phoenix. And it was at that conference that things started to get obvious that there was something going on here. Do you want to say anything about that, Ahonu? It was a fateful day for Ahonu, I have to say.
Yes, awesome. One of the interesting things about this whole twin flame business is that most men don't understand relationships at all, full stop, or period, as you say, in this country. And that's true, I believe, for most men, perhaps except Italians. I'm not really sure about that. They're supposed to be very romantic and in tune with their feelings. But however, most men run a mile when they meet their twin flame because they know something's going on, but they don't understand it. And that was exactly my situation. Here we were on a whale-watching cruise, lying in the sunshine off the coast of Africa in Tenerife, and blazing beautiful sunshine, absolutely exquisite weather, and this relationship is going on telepathically, and I'm getting these shivers that says, run a mile now, swim, fly, just do what you can to get out of this, get away from here, because this is just too much. And I didn't have any idea what was going on, except that when I went back to Ireland and I tried to make contact with her to understand something about it, I found that the only time that I could connect with her was either at 12 midnight my time, which would have been 6 p.m. her time in Chicago, or else it was 6 my time and 12 hers. So in other words, there was this 12-6 connection going on, and even that made no sense to me. I recognized it, but I didn't understand it. And then we decided that we would connect again at a workshop that was going on in Phoenix, Arizona, about the following April, I think it was. And we were checking into this hotel, and we were standing on the lobby, in the lobby, on a rug, and Angel Rose said to me, look down, and I turned around, and I was standing on the 12 of this clock. The rug was shaped in the shape of a clock, and I was standing on the 12, and she was standing on the 6. So we were saying, oh my God, what's this? What's going on here? And this was kind of the kind of thing that would send shivers up your spine. So we went to this workshop in Phoenix, and we discovered that the whole business of twin flames is actually based on the symbolism of the clock face, in the sense that you will have a twin pair couple that are what they call 12-6, a 12-6 pair. But equally, you will have lesser twins that might be a 3-9 pair, or a 1-7 pair, or a 2-8 pair, or a 4-8 pair, or a 5-11 pair, or whatever way that goes. Do you understand? So you'll have primary twin couples, and then you'll have secondary or lesser twin couples. And we discovered, just through the synchronicities of all of this, that we were a 12-6 pair, and that was quite a shocker. And that was really what had me jumping on the next plane back to Ireland.
Oh, that gave me chills for sure. That's amazing. So, for my audience, because not everyone is familiar with the concept of twin flames, even though over the last
years it's become more popular and
in New Age circles and in spiritual meetings. I know I, for one, I am a twin flame, and I have met my twin. And like you said, he ran for the hills. We're super close. We're really, really good friends. We talk almost every single day. But as far as the relationship, we tried for a couple of years, and it didn't happen. As far as being romantically involved or married. But we are working through a lot of stuff. I notice when I work through... I just got my third degree in Reiki. I became an energy healer, and I'm going through a ton of energy. I feel it flowing to my body, and a lot of things are changing in my body. He just called me and said, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I have more energy. I feel younger, and I feel healed in so many ways, and we're also healing our family line. So I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit on that.
Yes. Well, being a twin really does mean that you are each other. And, you know, if you can imagine that we begin as a flame, a spirit flame in spirit, and there's a point where that spirit flame divides, almost like cell division, that would be your primary twin pair, and then those pairs divide again, and that's where you get the lesser twin, which means that it's still part of the same entity or being. It's just the frequency starts to diminish more and more. But not all twins are meant to be romantic. I mean, some are even parent and child this lifetime. I met a woman who... We were given a lecture on twin flames, and she actually burst into tears and said she finally understood who her daughter was to her, okay? But it really does mean that you are each other. So, of course, whatever one experiences, the other is going to on some level. And the other thing that happens is that everything's magnified. So that has to do with things that are healed and things that are unhealed. So you'll find that twin pairs often have the same... issues. Oftentimes they've gone through the same types of traumas. They'll think the same, you know, there'll be lots of similarities that'll go on there. But when you do come together and you're physically together, well, even if you're not physically together, but once you meet, everything gets bigger. So you actually create a third, almost like a third Merkaba field between yourselves, by bringing the pair together, because you're each filling in the missing codes that you've had over lifetimes. So that means that when you have issues, sometimes it's hard to help each other because your issues are the same and they get bigger. And then other times when you do heal part of yourself or the other person does something, the other one will benefit from it.
Wow, that's so amazing. I almost wish we had more time to
discuss all of the ins and outs of twin flames, because it's such a fascinating topic, and it's such a misunderstood thing. And everybody that just hears about it, they always say, oh, I wish I could find my twin. And over the last 2 or 3 years of knowing my twin, I'm like, oh, you kind of, I don't really want to wish this on anybody as much as it can be so. It's so wonderful, and the love is so intense. But at the same time, the fights can be so intense. If you're not ready, or twin is fighting it a little bit, it could be pretty gnarly.
Well, it is, because there is a huge responsibility to the relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a relationship where you can't hide either, because you are each other. So therefore, there's no lying. There's no hidden agendas. If one or the other of you who is still interested in maintaining a separate ego and following that direction, then it probably won't work. And twins oftentimes do have the opportunity to come together, but one or the other may not be ready. I hear this a lot, and it is kind of sad, because it's a strange connection. But, you know, the love part of it is beyond really the human. And I think that usually means that they're saying yes to a commitment to do planetary service and world service, as well as to uphold like a higher masculine and feminine principle than what's been here before.
Right. It's a huge, I'm so happy that you guys came together, actually, because it gives me hope. You know, I know some twins are getting together, and then their life purpose together is being fulfilled, and it is a sacrifice. You're not in your own little world watching TV and feeding the chickens out back and living a solitary life. A lot of times, what you're doing for the world. Even if you live simply, you are expanding yourself energetically to literally heal the planet. And it's a huge undertaking, energetically speaking.
Yes, you are right about that. And it's an interesting thing that more and more twin couples are coming together at this point in time, as Angel Rose mentioned. And it's a good thing, of course, but it can be also very disconcerting. And especially if you're in one of those mainstream religions that says, hey, you can't divorce here, or, you know, divorce is a no-no. And I'm speaking specifically about most Western religions, where a soulmate couple might be together, for example, and have children. And that could be their only purpose in life, is just to bear those children together. But then one of them may meet their twin flame, and that's their primary soul contract, is to return to that twin flame. And therefore, a divorce is inevitable. So this helps people understand why they can be in relationships that are only for a certain length of time, and then it is inevitable that a breakup must happen. But usually it would be as part of the unfolding of that person's soul contract and the joining together of the twin flame energies, which has a huge impact on the Earth and the Earth's evolution. Does that make sense?
Yes, it really does. I'm getting all kinds of chills about this. This is, I think, enough for my listeners to digest at this time, but I'd love to have you guys on the show again in the future, if mm-hmm. you're willing to come back to Metaphysical Soul Speak. Awesome. I wanted to quickly mention, Ahona, you are an amazing artist, and you have a way that we can get in touch with you. Is that correct?
Yes, and if I could just mention very briefly, because you said about ancestral healing, one of the things that people benefit from the art that I do is healing right back through ancestral lines, and that is an amazingly beneficial thing. And people can get in touch with me through my website at ahonu.com. That's A-H-O-N-U. Interestingly, it's the Hawaiian name for sea turtle, which is my favorite sea animal, of course, ahonu.com.
Okay, and Angel Rose, you have your own website as well, so we can hear your radio show.
Yes, I do. It's angelrose.com. It's A-I-N GEALROSE.com. And we do have our radio show every Saturday morning on the Art of Living Well Network. So it's a Blog Talk Radio. So it'd be blogtalkradio.com/ Art of Living Well. And we are under the Honest to God series.
And it's wonderful. I've heard it, and I'm just, it gives me chills every time I hear your show. It's so enlightening for me. So thank you guys so much for coming on my show. And thank you for putting yourselves out there and giving all this awesome information that is so needed in this world. And it's just been a pleasure having you here. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back with Metaphysical Soul Speak.
Okay.
Metaphysical Soul Speak is brought to you by ilovehypnosis.com, where you can change your life in just a month using the power of hypnotherapy. And now it's time for 5 minutes of therapy for your spiritual success. Today I'd like to talk to you about a little bit of an uncomfortable topic. This is it. This is my question for you this week. Why do you shrink from your God-given power? What I believe is that God gives you desires, true desires, in your heart, because that is your destiny and that is what you need to fulfill. However, as we grow up, we hear things like, well, the only artist that ever makes it is a dead artist who has a big body of work, so you'll never see a dime of it. Don't go into art. Or we hear, you don't want to be a musician. When are you going to be serious about your life? Or you hear, well, you can't buy a house with surfing. You know, these are things that you may or may not have heard, whatever it was that your dream was when you were really little. Now, I'm talking really little. I want you to go back. This is your homework for this week. I want you to think about this. Think about when you were really little. What did you really, really want to do? And I'm not talking about being a fireman or being a nurse and the immediate careers that come to mind that people put on you. When I was a kid, I watched Romper Room, and that is dating me a little. But, you know, we would say, are you going to be a nurse, Billy or Susie? Are you going to be a fireman? Are you going to be a teacher? I grew up Catholic in the beginning. I'm no longer Catholic, but in the beginning I was asked, are you going to be a nun when you grow up? Are you going to receive the calling to be a nun? And I thought, no, I'm probably going to be receiving the calling to love God and yet have a family. But I want you to think about your childhood. What was that secret, deep desire? What was your dream? What did you want to do? Was it travel? Was it sail around the world? Was it to fly a plane? Was it to paint glorious paintings that will hang on the walls of museums? Was it to build a car from the ground up from scratch? What was that dream? Why do you shrink away from your God-given power, your God-given talent? Because the desire of your heart is where your power lies. That is where it lies dormant within you. You need to step up to the power of your dreams, and the whole universe will support you. The minute you take that one step forward, you walk into this glorious dream. And I'm not saying it's going to be a bed of roses. I will be honest with you. Sometimes we will step into our power, and it starts to work, and everything is great, and then you're going to hit a few obstacles. The reason being for this is the Earth is a world of duality. We live in a world of opposites. There's up, there's down, there's dark, there's light, there's day, there's night, there's man, there's woman. But what I am here to tell you, personally, as all of those challenges, all of those obstacles are there as a spiritual test to see how badly you want this dream. How badly do you want this desire? Don't shrink away from your God-given power. Don't shrink away from your God-given talents. And don't shrink away from your God-given desire. And don't lay down on that last night of this lifetime and say, boy, I really wish I had. Just don't do that. Do not shrink away from your God-given power. This is your challenge. This is your homework for this week. Write down the five things you thought about doing as a child, and you probably won't come up with five. I guarantee you, you'll probably come up with two or three, and you're going to recognize one of them immediately as, oh, this is what my mom wanted me to be. This is what my dad wanted me to be. My auntie told me to be this, or my teacher put this idea in my head. After you cross that off, find out what it is you really wanted to do. If all the world was your play, your playtime, what is it that you would be doing with your time? If money was no object, and for many of you, money might not be an issue, but if you were endowed with Bill Gates' fortune, for example, and your physical body was in perfect health, and the sky was the limit, and you had no boundaries, no limits put upon you, what would you be doing with your time? Would you be walking the streets of Paris, sampling all of the pastries and coffee? Maybe you would be in a field in Italy, painting the countryside. Maybe you would be sailing your own ship off the coast of Honduras. What is it that you would be doing? Maybe you'd be on a bicycle taking a tour across the United States of America. What is your dream? What is your God-given talent? What is your God-given desire? And why do you shrink away? Maybe you don't, maybe you won't any longer after this little talk. I hope this has been inspirational for you. This is your 5 minutes of therapy for your spiritual success. Until next week. See you then. You may find out more about Metaphysical SoulSpeak by visiting us online at soulspeakradio.com, where you can sign up for our podcasts or subscribe to our newsletter or listen to our archived shows. Thank you so much for supporting Metaphysical SoulSpeak. Well, that concludes another episode of my show. Thank you so much for listening. I want to give a shout-out to my special guests, Angel Rose and Ahonu. I am so happy that you were able to come on my show and enlighten us on the subject of twin flames. That was super fascinating. So I am standing here at sunset on the edge of Lake Tahoe in South Lake Tahoe. The families are out gathering to look at the sunset over the mountains that have a little bit of snow left. Spring is in in full bloom. It's pretty cold. It's a little windy, but it's so warm that all the snow is almost completely melted. The ducks are going next to me. They're super beautiful. The little couples, the duck couples. So basically spring is in the air. This show will air on Easter, so happy Easter to all my Christian friends. I wanted to mention that Sunday, today, and also through this whole week, this will also air on Wednesday as well. This is the end of Mercury retrograde. I don't know if you are aware of Mercury retrograde or not, but just like we spend a third of our lives sleeping, we also spend a third of our lives under the influence of Mercury retrograde. And when Mercury is, it doesn't actually go backwards in the sky, but it appears to go backwards. During this time, it is a time for reflection, renewal, sometimes rejoicing, but usually it's a time for a breakdown in communication, because you're not supposed to really communicate outwardly with people. You're supposed to communicate inwardly with yourself and with your version of a higher power. This is the best time to get in touch with your higher self and God. Mercury retrograde is a time when sometimes traveling can be a pain. And thank you, God, that I've been traveling this whole Mercury retrograde period, and thank God nothing has gone wrong. And I'm very, very grateful for that. In my past, I have signed up for jobs that fell through 3 weeks later when Mercury went direct. I have started, you know, when I was really young, I started relationships when Mercury was retrograde, and as soon as it went direct, the relationship went south. Mercury retrograde is a really crazy period, and it is a time of rebirth, regrowth, renewal, and even resurrection, if you will. And it is a good time to finish old projects and come up with new ideas and looking at things in old things in new ways. I'm really grateful for this last period of Mercury retrograde, actually, because it's helped me set my life on the right track. I've had a lot of mental time to myself. I'm really grateful. Had some good times with my kids. As you know, I've been traveling, I've been traveling in Nevada and California, and I'm getting ready. Some of you know this. I'm actually getting ready to move to South America for 6 months for a new adventure. I'm hoping to interview some shamans, if I can find them, and if I can find the translators that speak the shaman language in Ecuador. I'm hoping to find the archaeological dig that's going on. They did find the Incan Empire's last king and where he is buried. And right now, there's this huge archaeological dig that just started last summer. So I would love to go and try to make those people coffee at the very least, because it's just interesting to me. It's all spiritual, and Ecuador is a very spiritual country. They have an army that has a division of meditation and peace. In fact, every morning they wake up before the sun. The sun comes up in Ecuador every morning at 6 a.m., between 6:06 and 6:08, I believe, and it doesn't really waver outside of these couple of minutes throughout the entire year. So about 5 o'clock, this division of the army gets up, and they meditate and pray for world peace. And this was an answer to years and years ago when Peru attacked them and started a little war with them. And they believe that their efforts for world peace and their meditation, their praying, their asking God to intervene, they really believed that that had something to do with ending of the war pretty quickly. So that's been an interesting thing that I've reflected on quite often, actually. I mean, what if we were able to do that with our lives, and when people caused us problems and pain and started many wars with us, what if we just turned around and said, hey, it's okay. I'm going to ask God to bless us, and let's get through it. That would be a renewal of who we are as people, if on an individual level we could take responsibility. Well, there's another reflection for you for the week. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll join me next week, where I actually don't know who our guest is going to be. It's going to be a surprise, but I do have some good people lined up. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and God bless.